We'll now move to item 19, public forum. Anybody that would like to address the board on any item not on the agenda can do so now. Yeah, okay. Mr. Margetson, you're here. Elaine Watson, Keith Weimer, Lindy Owen, Al Barrow, Gwendolyn Taylor, and Frank Auxilio. Yes. Of course. Okay. We're going to take a, how many minutes? Mr. Margetson, you're first up at the plate. Ms. Watson, and then Mr. Weimer.
Richard Margetson, did everybody get a copy of this that I handed out? Yes. Looks like it. Last time the county of San Luis Obispo was before you, there was public comment and then discussion about the nitrate monitoring of the 28 test wells in Los Osos. And at the end of that discussion, you had indicated that you were hoping somebody was going to implement this regimen again. I give you this sheet because this was before the wastewater project was started. The CSD was actually doing the monitoring on roughly a quarterly basis. And if you notice in the second column, it got down, the average got down to 9.8 if you exclude the golf course. Mr. Buell ordered one more test to get it back up above the drinking water standard and then eliminated the monitoring or the testing. Your waste discharge requirements for Los Osos, the numbers that were used in that report were from 2006. We're talking about a $200 million project here. You had an agenda item earlier in the day where I think it was pretty clear that monitoring is essential to know where you're at and where you need to be in the future. $200 million project, and the most recent information we have is from 2006. I think that information needs to be in place before the project is started and then monitored after the project is in place to see what the effects are. I think it's irresponsible on all the parties, all the purveyors, the county, and I think the water board could push this issue on the purveyors to get them to do this testing again. It was a semi-condition of the project while it was in the design phase before it went out to bid. But, you know, October 2004, for those of you who were on the board back then, and some of you were, was right about the time that a recall was being proposed in Los Osos. There was much controversy about the location. Move the sewer was up and running. And I find it interesting that right at that moment, right before funds were going to be let by the state revolving fund, the testing was stopped. And I know it wouldn't have stopped the project, but it sure would be interesting for people who have to, over the next 40 years, recoup to the state and to the USDA roughly $150 million where we actually are with this, because seawater intrusion actually is a bigger problem right now than the nitrates.
Thank you for your comments. Elaine Watson.
Elaine Watson, Los Osos. I am speaking on behalf of the Los Osos Sustainability Group. We first became involved in the wastewater project about 4 years ago and quickly realized that the greatest threat to the basin is seawater intrusion, not high nitrates. nitrates, as you've just been told, have not been tested for us in at least 5 years. And they have been the focus and the reason for this project, even though they appear to have leveled off. In any case, they don't threaten the basin's sustainability. While seawater intrusion has traveled inland a half mile between 2005 and 2009, contaminating about 5 years' worth of water, and is currently threatening major supply wells. What we also learned is that the wastewater project can make seawater intrusion worse. While its extremely high cost will devastate the community, especially in this very weak economy. We've spent 4 years trying to convince the county and other agencies seawater intrusion must be the priority and that much more cost-effective solutions exist. But we've had very, very limited success, largely because the project is not about the water. It's obviously about the money. Agencies and companies have a lot at stake and want to see questionable decisions that were made in the past play out. As a result, Los Osos appears to be headed for one of the most costly and least sustainable projects in history due to its potential adverse effects on the water supply, sensitive habitat, the community occupying the prohibition zone. It will also exact a tremendous cost in terms of natural resources and global warming. Over 7 million tons of greenhouse gases will be emitted through fossil fuel use as it is being burned for 3 million miles of vehicle travel. Visualize 6 round trips to the moon. The most obvious solution to wastewater and water issues, we believe, is a basin-wide septic management program, possibly with limited collection combined with integrated nitrate management, stormwater management, and comprehensive conservation. The Regional Water Board and County were supposed to implement a septic system management plan in the 80s and a coordinated basin-wide management plan in the late 90s and a comprehensive conservation program has been recommended in studies since the 70s, but to date, none of these have happened. Integrated management will achieve what the current project is supposed to, reduce nitrates in the upper aquifer, as demonstrated by the nitrate management program that went on in the San Lorenzo project. It could also do a lot more, including stopping seawater intrusion if it can be stopped, reducing pollution to the estuary through runoff management, reducing energy use and avoiding adverse impacts to air quality, environmentally sensitive habitat, prime farmland, streets, and yards. It also avoids catastrophic system damage and shutdown if a strong earthquake strikes.
Can you wrap it up, Ms. Watson?
I will. Finally, its price tag will be a fraction of what the current project is going to cost Los Osos homeowners. We're just simply asking for good science and good sense to intervene in this project. Thank you.
Thank you. And is this your letter of June 5th that you handed out for us to read?
No.
That's Mr. Weimer's. Okay. All right, Mr. Weimer, followed by Lindy Owen, and then Al Barrow.
Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am here because I wanted you to have the Sustainability Group's appeal of the waste discharge requirement for the project and my comments on the basin plan. The State Board said the appeal was 12 hours late, so they refused to consider it, and then they said we couldn't sue. Well, why should we have to sue? I thought the job of the water boards was to protect the water. I wanted you to have it because it further explains why the Los Osos wastewater project will do more harm than good to the water supply. On page 7, I quote Mr. Briggs' draft DRER comments. He points out that Broderson leach fields can liquefy soil downhill from site, especially during the rainy weather when more water is being disposed. Mr. Briggs asks where the water will go if disposal has to be cut. The answer is there is nowhere for it to go. And Broderson is also supposed to mitigate for seawater intrusion and impacts on wetlands. On page 9, Mr. Briggs points out that the salt and recycled water can destroy soil and aquifers, and he wants to know what mitigations are in place. The answer is none. And his draft EIR comments predate accelerating seawater intrusion, which raised the salt content of the domestic supply 40% to 50%. Treated effluent will now be much higher in salt content in the upper aquifer water under Broderson and farming aquifers where recycling is supposed to occur. Salt contamination from seawater intrusion and recycled water will destroy the water supply, not improve it. Here is something we missed, the last two pages there. If you look at the depths of the test wells used to justify the project, most are very shallow. The project will undoubtedly severely adversely impact these well levels, so what you're using to justify the project will be harmed by the project. Further, the project will most likely adversely impact private wells on larger lots using the upper zones. This undermines the reason for 8313, which is to improve the beneficial use of upper zones. Of course, property owners can have salty recycled water to replace the water they're pumping. Finally, in my basin plan comments, I point out why integrated planning is always the best, and we've heard that again today. And you already know it. 70% of nitrates in Los Osos come from sources other than septics, 50% from outside the prohibition zone, and water recharging the basin from outside the prohibition zone in various neighborhoods is higher in nitrates than the water recharging from neighborhoods inside the prohibition zone. Basin-wide nitrate and septic management, like you required back in 1983 but never implemented, like you support in the Santa Cruz area, is the best solution for Los Osos. It will reduce nitrates, stop seawater intrusion, and have many, many more benefits at a fraction of the cost with none of the risk. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Owen?
I was wishing I could say good morning. Good afternoon. Lindy Owen from the Los Osos Prohibition Zone. I have been involved in the watching of this project for over 10 years now, and the same concerns, the original concern of moving the location of the treatment plant, has actually opened up the realization of all the other concerns that are, I think, your board needs to take into consideration, and I believe step in and take over this project direction. What we're looking at is a collection system that is so expensive that you will be causing harm to a large portion of my community. The numbers of projects, the things that should concern you are that the nitrates, as has been spoken, are at a pretty much 0.5 milligram over drinking standard. There's very few cities and communities that can brag of that high quality, basically, in their upper aquifer. Our lower aquifer is being depleted to the point where we probably will lose it. I don't believe there's any stopping it at this point. While people sit and twiddle their thumbs and project controversies go on, we're losing that basin to saltwater intrusion. So chloride is a pollutant, and it will make basically our drinking supply unusable and very unfixable. I'm asking you today to consider a waiver for the many reasons. The most important reason is the areas that probably have the highest nitrate potential and pollution potential are the low-lying areas that have basically very small, short groundwater, septic leach fields to groundwater. The majority of Los Osos has over 8 to 10 feet, and many areas have 40 feet to groundwater. So we know that the VADO zone does work. If you could do a phase system where you just collected the low-lying areas and made that be phase one, you would then have time to watch and see if the disposal system is correct, how many nitrates are removed. We're going to be doing nitrate removal at the wellhead. So we've by doing a phase system, you will actually accomplish something that could be very helpful for the long term. And I'm also very concerned about, and you should be too, these giant collection pipes that are proposed, the gravity ones, the county has refused to look at the alternative, the small pressurized pipes that are flexible. We have now been called, we're the second largest liquefaction zone in the county. Los Osos and Grover Beach, I believe, is the other. If we have an earthquake the size of anything that happened in New Zealand, probably over a 6.5, those pipes are broken. And as you know, those pipes will be running through a portion of our drinking supply. It's not a good situation. So we need a flexible collection system. And I would really beg that you intervene, because the science is far more important than the politics at this point. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Barrow, followed by Gwen Taylor, and then Frank Acilio.
Thank you. I'll try to make my statement fairly simple. Putting a round peg in a square hole and failing and then trying to do it over again is not a very reasonable approach to solving a problem. This is what's happening in Los Osos. The county proposed a gravity sewer collection system for the homes and businesses in Los Osos in 95. If they had gone ahead and built that, and the 2003 December 22nd earthquake, the San Simeon quake, you all know we went through that. We lost our water tower. It was $1 million. It was like elephant toes. We lost damage to the fire department, damage to buildings. We would have had manholes popping up in the streets. We would have had pipes buoyant, floating, because we are an Eocene geology, fine-blown sand 100,000 years ago, with clay lenses with perched water throughout. Our groundwater table in the low-lying area of Los Osos is within 5 feet of grade, so they'll have to dewater trenches to install gravity sewers. The gravity sewers will be underwater. Well, when you have liquefaction conditions and there's a ground lurching, the buoyancy will come up, it'll be like jelly, and you'll lose that slope of a 16th of an inch laser beam slope that you have to move the solids through the system. So you have a recipe to fail. There are other alternatives that were considered in the EIR that are viable. Step collection is one, which is a low-pressure collection, small-diameter system which can be installed. Doesn't have air. It's full of water all the time, so it's not going to float. And if it breaks, you can find that break and fix it rather quickly. In the Northridge quake, it took them 12 years to fix the damage from that system, and that didn't have liquefaction conditions. We have liquefaction conditions throughout, mapped by Fugro. Okay, so I'm going to warn you. You have to tell these people they need to do another subsequent EIR because we've just discovered the shoreline fault off of Diablo Canyon with a potential for a 7.2 earthquake. This is new information. Please pay attention. You need, if you're going to allow a gravity sewer in, you got to make them say where they're going to get the water to fix, the money to fix it when that earthquake happens. We just had one in 2003. We'll have another one. That was 40 miles away. That was 6.5. This one could be 6.5. We also have the Los Osos fault. So we have three faults out, the Hosgri fault, the shoreline fault, and the Utilities Commission has said that they must do an underground study for this seismic situation. So please, thank you for listening. Consider.
Thank you for your comments. Mrs. Taylor?
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. This board and Mr. Briggs has told the county, as of your May 4th meeting, to start up the testing of the test well or monitoring wells to determine the nitrate contamination in the water basin of Los Osos. As this was the main motivation for the sewer project, supposedly, the main concern of the purveyors now is not nitrates but seawater intrusion, which is more pervasive than nitrates in the last test taken in October of 2006 by the CSD. Not only the CSD but Golden State Water are proposing to use denitrification equipment at the wellheads that supply water to our community. Yet, the conservation program that is supposed to address seawater intrusion is still in limbo and has been since the interlocutory stipulated judgment was agreed upon by the four parties. All the time, seawater intrusion has continued, as it has since 1970. This proposed wastewater discharge facility is more a recycling facility and will not address the major water problem, our seawater intrusion. The water is to be recharged outside of the basin. It will not recharge our basin in Los Osos. The the contaminated saltwater intrusion into the basin will not and cannot be addressed with now proposed water recycling facilities. The use of the recycled water on irrigated land in the agricultural community is in question and puts the disposal of all of the water in question. Realize that when salt water is used on agricultural land, it builds up in the land itself and literally makes it unusable. The water that is proposed to be recycled and used by the purveyors outside of the basin is not going to recharge our basin. We need a system that is going to recharge the basin now. Otherwise, we have no water source. There is no pipeline coming in from Nacimiento. There is no state pipeline. We have no other water than the basin water we now use. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker is Mr. Acilio.
Frank Acilio, and you have the four pages I've with my name on it in regarding emails to the State Water Board. I'm going to start on the second page because that's how the emails start. First, I'd like to say that I came to this board several times about seawater intrusion, like many people have done today. I also wrote in January 2009 a formal request if the board take some action regarding seawater intrusion. I did get a letter from staff saying that you do not have the authority. I believe it was Mr. DiCaro's letter. So I sent an appeal to the State Water Board. The appeal was denied because since you have not agendized that item, there was no appeal that was justified from the State Water Board. However, now what you start seeing, I'll go to the email, is that, okay, they did say in the bottom letter, if you have any questions, please write to us. So I wrote to them, and I asked them the question, does the State Water Resource Board have the authority to act when drinking water from an aquifer is being polluted by seawater intrusion due to overdraft, thereby degrading the water supply? I sent that to Ms. Bashaw, who wrote me the letter of not accepting my appeal. It was responded to by Mrs. Jennings, who is the was staff counsel at the time. She recommended that I come back to this board. As you see, the state board generally would not treat seawater intrusion as a pollution, but through its water rights authority and various projects it works on, it sometimes acts on similar problems. I recommend that you go through the regional water board to discuss this problem. I did meet with Mr. Briggs and his staff. They're very cordial, very empathetic about the issue. But as you see on page one, you go back to the first page, where I quote Mr. Briggs stating that the intent's there, but the authority is not. I then forwarded back information to Mrs. Jennings, but she's no longer there. I sent then a copy to all the State Water Board members themselves on this issue. As you see that I'm waiting now from the State Water Board Council, Chief Counsel, to respond to my emails. I included on the next two pages, and I thank Mr. Young for finally providing me what I was looking for, is definitive answer from this board saying, we don't have the authority. Not necessarily coming from staff, but from this board saying, we don't have the authority. But what concerns me more that you say you don't have the authority is that you hadn't made no effort into bringing this issue forward that I've noticed. Now, I could be wrong, and please correct me if I am, to request that you do have the authority, not the intent, but the authority to deal with this, since this is an issue that is statewide, and that's what I promoted in my last email to the state board, that this is not a Los Osos issue, it's not a Napomo issue. This is an issue facing all coastal communities in California, and somebody needs to have that authority to look at it as a whole piece. So I hope this board someday will support some type of legislation to give you that authority. Maybe you don't want it. I don't know.
Thank you for your comments. Actually, we are prevented from supporting legislation one way or the other. We don't, that, we work for the administration, and it's the governor's office that takes positions on bills. It's not us.
And I understand.
So it's, you know, you have to look at where the lines of power and authority lie, and it's, we don't have direct control over this, as we've discussed, you know, historically. It may need legislation to identify and give authority to agencies like ourselves. The state board has more power than maybe Ms. Jennings had articulated here. I read her email, and I saw her suggestion that you come back to the regional board. Well, you guys are already here at the regional board discussing that. So that seemed to be kind of circuitous to me. But maybe staff has some comments on kind of what we've heard and what these folks, you know, ultimately, where's the kind of the solution to seawater intrusion on a statewide level in terms of regulatory power? No, I want Mr. Packard to answer the question, Mr. Briggs. I told him he's going to get one hot seat question today.
Well, Mr. Acilio,
I'm pulling your leg.
No, I will respond to what
actually Harvey and I have been working together on this issue, so either one of us could probably respond.
Yeah. And I think I heard him say that we're not doing anything, which I would disagree with. We have been, we've met with the ISJ committee. We've been pushing them to the extent we can without any regulatory authority over them to tell us what they're doing and when they're going to do it and when are they going to start taking steps to address the problem. So,
Ari, can you, for the sake of the board, can you say what ISJ is?
That's the group including the county and the water purveyors that are dealing with the court process of dealing with the seawater intrusion. We are addressing it in other areas of the region, in the Pajaro Valley, in the Salinas Valley. We're trying to work with the stakeholders there to the extent we can with the authority that we have to encourage them and push them in the right directions. We haven't taken any regulatory actions because there aren't any available to us. But, you know, it's an issue that we're fully aware of and we realize the seriousness of, and we are taking the action that are available to us. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Roger.
No, I think that's a good summary, other than as far as us, you mentioned pushing the local entities, which is true. However, what we've said is that unless it's solved locally, then we would try to partner with the state board and in terms of them exercising their authority that they do have. But pretty much everyone agrees that's not a good way to go. It's kind of the last resort because the authority of the state board is really adjudication through a Section 2100 proceeding, which is pretty rare. So what we are saying is the local entities, whether it's Los Osos folks that are part of the ISJ, the three water purveyors in the county, or whether it's Salinas Valley entities or Pajaro Valley entities, that it behooves them to take aggressive actions to do what they need to do to manage the basin, because they are the basin managers, to get ahead of seawater intrusion and turn it around. Salinas, supposedly they actually do have remedies in place on paper. It does balance out so that the overdraft is corrected with two main remedies that they put in place between the Salinas River diversion and then the recycle project that's been in place for a lot of years. Pajaro, we've just been having communications with them and with the Los Osos ISJ group. They just came out with their conservation plan, which is part of their basin management plan process. And it does have some aggressive conservation measures. I don't have the top of my head what their time schedule is for that. There are some provisions for the county incorporating conservation measures as part of the wastewater treatment plant project. I think part of that's from the Coastal Commission approval and some other complications. But anyway, that does sum up what we've been doing. We have been active, and it is a serious water quality problem. There's no doubt about it.
Dr. Hunter.
I'm just wondering, in participating in the ISJ, do you think that group is able to, in working with the county, review, reconsider, or in a new light, look at the potential for the design of the wastewater treatment facility to in any way advance the rate of seawater intrusion? Because I remember when the county was here, that was one of the questions that came up, and that, you know, there's real concern that the numbers that the county used in the EIR and in the design were had a lot of room to doubt. And I'm wondering if the ISJ is willing to, or are they taking a closer look at those numbers to assure themselves that we're not, one hand is not aware of the other hand, and how those processes may be able to affect one another in terms of taking a better look at the design of that wastewater treatment plant. Do you have a sense if they can step in and if they have the enough influence with the county to say these numbers may need to be revisited so that we assure ourselves that you're not building a $200 million plant that's going to work against everything we're doing to try to better protect and assure seawater intrusion doesn't ultimately take the basin?
I don't know about their communications amongst themselves. However, the county is part of the ISJ group. They didn't actually have to be, but they felt that, you know, with their role in the area, that they should be. So they kind of volunteered themselves, I guess you'd say. So they're part of developing the basin management plan. So that would tell me that if the water purveyors see a big conflict with what the county is doing, they're part of that same group developing the water management plan. Also, I'm not sure I understood you correctly, but it sounded like you were saying you were referring to our meetings with the ISJ. And okay, because we're not part of the ISJ.
Right. No, but I just wondered if you had a sense that it may be back on the table, that the ISJ group would want to revisit those numbers to assure that there isn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
There isn't, you know, that they didn't overlook or in any conservative way, overestimate how little impact wastewater treatment design would have on advancing seawater intrusion. And I know it was a question that was brought up when the county last made their presentation, and I know that many of the comment letters on the EIR brought that issue up in the county. To my knowledge, and I'm not following everything the county's doing, but I never saw a response from the county that really addressed those numbers. So I was hoping the ISJ process at this point, knowing what we know about how rapid seawater intrusion is advancing into the basin, that they would really be in the best position to get those numbers back on the table.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that as far as their communications. We were invited to come in for a part of one of their meetings because it's not a public process, as you know.
Is there any way we could ask the question of the group?
Yeah.
If they have reviewed those numbers since the EIR was completed, and if that's going to factor in, and since you say the county is a willing voluntary participant in that process, you know, it would be really helpful for the community, because I know those meetings are closed, but we may be able to help get some information. And just by way of comment to my neighbors who are here today, I want to assure you that Chair Young immediately took your comments when you first brought the issue forward he took those comments and very seriously investigated with the help of staff, but at his direction, asked for a focused look at where the line is in terms of our authority. We reviewed it, and you know, the dialogue that is reported here by Mr. Acilio, well, that may have been brief, that report, that exchange between David Licaro and Chair Young, that may have sounded like a brief kind of response, but I assure you that in the time between your first comment and several ideas that Chair Young investigated, including, you know, doing some very intensive workshops, we discovered that we really have no authority. I'm amazed to see the state board send you to the regional board when they were aware that you were already, you know, you had already brought these comments forward. I frankly can't understand or explain why that response was sent your way. I'm hoping Mr. Laufer will have a more serious effort to help define and clarify what avenues there are. And I am also hoping that you are seeking assistance from Senator Blakesley in his role. I know there are many pressing issues in the state, but he's got to be another advocate for us. And I don't know that you've had exchanges with him, but I certainly would hope so. Others in the region, I don't know if you saw Mr. Monning up in Monterey is going to start his campaign. He has been tireless in working on coastal issues. He's another individual I would go to see very soon because I expect him to be looking at and thinking about these issues just as he has pesticide issues and water quality. He's very, very up on these issues. So we have another, you know, hopeful track there.
I have written letters to both Assembly and senators that are dealing with water issues, all of them. I've met with Assemblyman at the time Blakesley's staff, which invited Pablo Ogren to sit in on the meeting regarding the issue of seawater intrusion in Los Osos. I've met with Senator Maldonado's staff, which I've known because I've worked with legislation on with both of those entities at the time, too. So I have all that documented of all the avenues I've taken to bring this and get and have somebody give you the authority that you lack. But I'd like to see that even though you cannot go and write up the legislation, you can also make recommendations to the state board that this is a problem we have in our area. Would you look at this and see what you can do about it? That's what I'm saying it's lacking, to do it as a statewide issue, not a, just only a local, but hopefully local. You'd still have local authority on that once if you got the authority. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think the state board, it's fair to say they know it's a statewide issue. I think maybe what I'd like to ask Mr. Briggs is if we have formally asked anyone at the state board to look at this. Have we asked Francis, Spivor Webby, anything about Los Osos? I mean, I just don't recall what we have done specifically in terms of that over the past couple of years since they brought this up.
You mean in terms of the authority issue?
Well, no. Is the state board involved with the ISJ?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, in what is the state board's position? Do we know in terms of the Los Osos seawater issue? Are they hands off? Let the ISJ process do its thing and see what comes of it. Is that
apparently so? At this point, which is consistent with what I was saying before in terms of it makes a whole lot more sense for the local water basin managers to get their house in order in terms of overdraft. And, you know, they tend to ramp up their threats of exercise of authority to try to get that to happen. Mm-hmm.
But where's the leverage in that process, the ISJ process, that anyone really exerts? I mean, they've got meetings that are not open to the public. And what forces direction and change with it?
It's a court process at this point, and you're very familiar with that. So
I know, that's why I'm asking. Yeah. Is there a judge just having status reports on this from time to time, or what?
Yeah, I don't know the details of that. Do you know, Harvey?
Mrs. Taylor is shaking her head no from the back. Yeah.
It's a cooperative arrangement,
and they have no time frame on it at all. Yeah.
One of the members would have to drop out.
Yeah. Well, let's. You know, what we just need is information at this point. I wonder what.
So I've made a note to ask the ISJ about the reevaluation of the numbers.
Okay.
And we can check on the timing. Like I said, we already have that information in the office. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay.
For the conservation plan.
Right.
Mr. Young, I prefer that, you know, my goal is not to keep it to a Los Osos issue. You know, it's Napomo issue. It's, you know, other, probably Cambria up in that area. It's a statewide issue, and that's what I'd like to see the board or the staff kind of communicate to the state, that this is a statewide issue. It's not just a, you know, ISJ issue or this issue. It's something that needs to be looked at comprehensively, because you do a good job looking at the nitrogen. I mean, I'm okay. Just amazed what you look at.
Did you talk to any of the state board members themselves?
I emailed them a copy of, as you see, the information. So I'm waiting, and they decided that the response will come from their chief counsel. So I'm waiting on that.
I mean, as soon as you characterize it as a statewide issue, which it is, then you're dealing with the State Water Board.
But it's also terms of regional water.
It's both.
Yes.
But state, you know, when you're dealing with policy, you're looking at policy to deal with saltwater intrusion, which is a statewide issue. It's really the State Water Board that needs to lay the groundwork for this.
And it's nice to have the support of each local part of the, because you make up the whole system.
Agreed. But that's, I think, where the impetus is going to come for change. They've got to be willing to do something.
Right.
And to recognize it.
And it's nice to get feedback from the people that they, the different regions, to say, yeah, we do see this as a statewide issue. That's what I'm coming from, is that each region, coastal area, would be able to present that information to the state board to educate them. Because you're right on the front lines. Yeah.
So let's do this. I mean, we can either wait for the next board meeting when Mrs. Spivey Weber is before us and let her know ahead of time. Mr. Briggs, we're going to have some questions for her. Okay. I mean, but that's what, maybe November at this point. And I can certainly call her. Wait, we're going to see her at the WQCC. So, you know, we'll raise the issue.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
With the state board members that we run into. Are you going to be there, Monica?
Yes, I will be there. And for those of you that don't know what the WQCC is, we haven't had a meeting for quite some time due to the state's budget problems, but it's a water quality coordinating committee. It is the only opportunity for regional board members to gather in Sacramento with state board staff, including all the executive level. And that's our chance to bring these kinds of issues to the fore and to raise them as priorities. And certainly I am part of that process and will do that. We also have a chance to talk to the chief counsel. We generally have a session and an update on all kinds of legalities, and it's another opportunity to bring that issue into that discussion as well. And I agree that it's statewide, and we need these different levels of action. And I will just reiterate, and I know, Frank, that your efforts are tireless. But the pressure to bring on our elected officials is also a critical piece of that. Until you get some leadership and a champion, you know, it's really hard to see legislation being developed. But that's our opportunity. It comes up at the end of the month, the end of September.
And thank you. It always starts with education.
Can I add a couple points to this conversation?
Sure. And then we're going to draw this to a close and then move to the next item.
Well, I appreciate it.
I also petitioned, the sustainability group did, a couple of us, actually Elaine and I, and it was back in September of 2010, and we received no response at all, you know, to our request. But the point I want to add to what Frank was saying is that this is more than just a statewide issue. We got a special issue in Los Osos because it's an emergency. I mean, we gave you, you know, the report from Gus Yates, who's a foremost authority on the basin, saying that there needed to be urgent action, and that was a year ago. You know, he said 2 years, get things going. That was a year ago. The ISJ has been going on for 4 years, Mr. Young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the agreement, if you read the agreement, and we can definitely provide it to you, but you will see that ISJ is totally cooperative, and the only way the judge would stop it is if one of the members says, let's stop it. So there is no pressure at all. And then I just wanted to add the point that, you know, the ISJ are the purveyors, okay? The purveyors are, you know, a private company. It's a, you know, it's LOCSD. It's under, you know, gun from, you know, different forces. And then it's one small company that hasn't even metered their users yet. And that's only two-thirds of the water in the basin. There's a great big unknown quantity of private use already. What we requested and what, you know, is active in both Salinas Valley and also, you know, the San Lorenzo Valley is a cooperative effort among a lot of agencies that are coming from a lot of different angles to handle a situation that may not even be as serious as Los Osos. I mean, because we're talking about a water basin 5 miles long, and the seawater intrusion moved 1/2 mile in 4 years, contaminating 5 years worth of water supply. Mm-hmm. This is not a joke. And I just want to add perspective here, is that the purveyors are not going to come up with a solution that works quickly. For one thing, you know, they're thinking about profits over anything else, and they can pump any water that comes from anywhere. But secondly, you know, they don't want to accept any responsibility for what's already not been done. Conservation has been requested and changes in wells since 1992, Resource Capacity City.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. So, Mr. Briggs, what do we have any opportunity to influence what goes on with the ISJ?
No.
I mean, I don't think there's any, we don't have any legal standing, right?
Not that I know of.
We can certainly write a letter to the ISJ to be, and how do we get in front of the court?
I don't know.
You can join the ISJ.
Can we join the ISJ?
I don't know.
Okay.
And test wells? What about any test well requirements that we can put into place?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is, how can our agencies either concerns or recommendations be articulated into the ISJ process?
Well, with you know, with other ongoing court cases, there are amicus briefs, and then filing with the court for intervener status, right? But I don't know how this process differs from that more traditional court proceeding.
Well, maybe staff could look at that and see if we could, you know, what opportunities exist for us to do. To get involved as an intervener. I mean, we need attorneys to do that, and I guess that's the question whether Mr. Laufer would provide us with attorneys to litigate that. Right?
Jessica can help me out, but as far as litigation, then you get into coordinating with the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
Correct. Regional board attorneys are not allowed to do any litigation.
Right.
So it would have to be the chief counsel agreeing that it's appropriate to refer this to the attorney general if in fact it kind of crosses that line into being litigation.
All right. Well,
but we can ask.
Can you ask and let me know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you, folks, for that information. Let's move on to item 20. Regional Board.